Okay, so welcome everybody, and I just would I'm just checking again to see my commands here. I'm a little bit confused. Okay. So welcome, and I do want to tell you last week we had a big Yetzirah attacking us, and the call cut out in the middle, and we missed part of the lesson, part of the recording. And this week, my phone isn't working properly, so I'm using my cell phone. And to top it all off, they are installing an elevator in my building, and there are power tools operating. And I'm trying to be in the quietest room of my apartment. If it gets much noisier than this, we're going to have to reschedule, though. I don't know if you can hear me. So today's lesson is look. Today's lesson is Likutei Moran 164. I wrote 174 on the poster, and what I'm going to do also is mute all the entries and exits so we don't hear the pings every time. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So this lesson is a very short lesson, but it's going to be very helpful because it's going to help us explore our explore what it means to understand what the tzaddik is teaching us and what all the true tzaddikim teach us, and to also explore our own resistance to it. And the Rebbe begins with a beautiful mashal, a beautiful example. And I'm going to start. Le'inyan sipuri devarim shel hatzadik ha'emes. This lesson is regarding the everyday conversations of the true tzaddik. Now, the Talmud tells us that even the sichos chulin, the everyday conversations of the sages, require studies. And the reason why they tell us this is because the tzaddikim, everything they speak, even the mundane, actually has in it something valuable. And we know that Rabbi Nachman himself would sit in Oman, and he would play chess with the Maskilim, the Jews who were the so-called Enlightenment movement Jews who were going off the path of Torah and wanted to take Judaism with them. And he would sit with them, and he would play chess with them and talk about seemingly unimportant things. Yet through these conversations, we know that their hearts were moved. And as a matter of fact, when Rabbi Nachman passed away, one of them came and said to Reb Nosson, "You think you're upset that you lost the Rebbe?" He said, "We're more upset." He said, "Because if the Rebbe had continued spending time with us, we surely would have returned to Hashem." So all the words of the tzaddik are valuable, and we have to take them somewhat at face value, as well as work on our understanding of them. So I'm going to continue. Lamashal. So here's the mashal. Here's the example, the story he says. Rofe shenechela vehucharach limsor et atzmoi leyad hadoktor hagadola. For example, a rofe, a healer, a doctor, took sick and was forced to go and put himself in the care of a big doctor, a very famous top physician. The harofe rotzeh sheyiten loy refuos kfi ma shehu yodea. Yet the doctor who goes to this big physician wants the physician to prescribe a cure according to what he knows will work. Lahotzi lo shein ugalacho, to extract the tooth and shave his hair. So if you remember in the olden days, that very often was what a barber was. They would shave your hair and extract your teeth, and this was considered a form of doctoring. Okay? So then the Rebbe continues, Aval ha-doctor yodea refuos yikarim v'chashuvim shetzarech litimlo. But the big doctor, the well-known expert, is familiar with special and superior cures which he wants to give him, to treat him. So what happens is if a person goes and they have some expertise in something, they're going to kind of want to dictate the treatment. However, even a prisoner, as the Talmud says, can't free himself from imprisonment, and a top doctor can't perform surgery upon himself. So there's an old riddle. If you go into a town and there's two barbers, which one do you go to? The one with the good haircut or the one with the bad haircut? So you go to the one with a good haircut, because that means that the other barber cut his hair. So what happens is we feel that we're experts in our own care. And to that extent, we're resistant, like this healer, to receiving special cures that we don't know about. We never heard of them. How can they possibly be good? Okay. So let me continue. Cain yizdamen sheyavo ish lahatamid chacham v'tzadeh kador. So the same thing is, it happens that a person comes to a great Torah scholar and the tzaddik of the generation, shehu rofe chali hanefashos, who is a healer for sick souls, for souls that aren't well, v'rotze sheyiten lo hatzaddik refuos. And they want the tzaddik to give him a cure. Hainu hanhagos udrachim. They wanted to give him like practices and things to do to cure them, kafi ma shehu yodea, according to what they know. Okay? So what happens here is that we go to the tzaddik, or we go to a Rav, and we want them to tell us something to do according to what we know works. So for one person thinks, well, I know that I should do some complex spiritual practice, and that is going to help me. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear something that makes sense to us. And even people who are unlearned also have their ideas about what they want to receive in terms of a prescription from the healer, from the tzaddik MS. Okay? So I'm going to pause here for just a moment to say that sometimes, okay, we have this feeling, this conflict inside, that we believe in the true tzaddikim. We know Hashem sent us the true tzaddikim to help us. We know, if we're familiar with Breslov and this concept of the Baal Hasada, the master of the field, and the master of prayer, and we understand that the tzaddik's role, like Moshe Rabbeinu's role, like Moses' role, is to help uplift us individually and as a nation, and help us achieve the cure for our ailing hearts and our ailing souls. Okay, I'm going to continue. V'hine lifamim ha-hech-reach liten la-ha-hole eze sam. Now, sometimes it's really important that the sick person is given a certain medication. Asher im yitanu lo hasam ba'atzmoy kamo shehu. But if this person is given the medication straight, Yamut Hahole Beli Safek, the person may die because it's too strong. Al Ken Hahechreach La'arev Hasam Bidvarim Acherim. It is therefore necessary to mix the medication with other things. So I want to, first of all, point out that the word the Rebbe is using here, some medication, can mean potion, and it can also mean poison, and it can mean drug. So we understand, and doctors should have a comprehensive and holistic understanding that whatever is contained in a medication, if it has the power to heal, it also has the power to harm. So yesterday I was speaking with someone who I've known for quite a while who's dealing with a very serious illness, and she has gone through many treatments, including surgery and radiation and chemotherapy. And several months ago, she was put on a medication where the side effects are so strong that they are debilitating. And the doctor that she has been working with up until this point has insisted that she stay on the medication. She told her there's no option for her. And even though my dear friend asked this doctor, who's a female doctor, which is why I'm saying her, asked her to please adjust the dosage, the doctor said, no, you need this. You really need it. So finally, my friend was feeling so, so ill, and I did ask for her permission to just mention this story because it was very timely, that she went to see another doctor. She had actually gone to a few doctors who all said to say take the same strength. She went to another doctor who yesterday gave her an infusion of supplements and other medications, and he agreed to lower the dose for this medication because it's too toxic. So Rabbi Nachman is recognizing, and he's giving in the mashal and his example, that if you get a medication straight, if it's powerful, it can actually, God forbid, it can actually kill a person. Now, what we want to understand is that this is also relevant to spiritual cures. And we want to give some background in this and understand that in the old days, and we know from the teachings of the Arizal, there were many practices that included a lot of fasting and self-mortification and real asceticism in order to achieve the healing of the soul. And when the Baal Shem Tov came into the world and began teaching that we don't need these extreme practices, this was quite shocking at the time. He began to reveal simpler and sweeter methods through which we could heal. And remember, the Baal Shem Tov was also a medical healer, an herbalist. Then most medicines were herbs. Today, they're either derivatives of herbs or chemical compounds that mimic herbs or other things, including stem cells and things like this. So what happened is the Baal Shem Tov came along and he uprooted this system of extreme medication. Now, why would people in the olden days need these extreme healing practices for the soul? So they were stronger back then. The people themselves were stronger, and they were able to tolerate much more strict and heavy treatments, so to speak, paths to walk on. Today, we know that since the Baal Shem Tov's time, we must remember that people are even weaker. And we can't tolerate too much. People fall apart. And we know that the trend now is certainly in the yeshivas, the Beis Yaakov, is to make things a little sweeter for the kids. And a lot of this was learned through the Baal Tshuva movement, through people coming back, being excited about the Torah, wanting to embrace Judaism, and finding that they could only take so much stricture. The healing processes were too intense. Okay. I'm going to pause here, and if you would like to comment or ask a question, please hit star 6 and we can discuss. Anybody? Nope. Okay. So I'm going to continue.
Yes.
So oh, you have a question?
No, I just want to make a comment that it's absolutely so realistic what you said about the doctor with the medication, that if it heals, it also kills, and it's actually it's very well known. This is how we know that a medication works, when it's a bit toxic to the patient.
Yes.
So just to confirm that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Yes. No, that is absolutely
true.
This is
true. How we know that a medication works, when it's a bit toxic. This
right.
is the indication. The patient starts complaining. We said yes, but now
we
know.
Are you a doctor?
In your body.
Are you a doctor?
I work at Memorial Sloan Kettering. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Okay.
Welcome.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Adriana. It's Adriana.
Oh, hi, hello, Adriana. Hi. It's so good to hear your voice. So thank you very much.
Okay. So I'm going to mute myself. Do I do star 6 again?
I think so. I don't know. These instructions are so complicated.
I just wanted to confirm.
Oh, yeah, no, star 6. You just do star 6 again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So what Adriana says is, Adriana, it's very nice to hear your voice. What Adriana says is I'm glad to have that confirmation. And this is really valuable. We actually can take this with us and keep it in mind. When we talk about a spiritual cure, we have to know that it may pinch a little. Not always, but it may pinch a little. It may not always be the easiest thing. Today, it tends to be easier than it used to be in the past, but it still is going to be a sting. And so, for example, I do want to say that sometimes people will take herbal medication or supplements and think that, well, they're natural or they're safe because they're natural. Well, I just want to add that just because something's natural and not a man-made compound doesn't mean that it's harmless, because if it has the power to heal, it also has the power to harm. Or otherwise it's probably useless. So there are very few benign substances. Okay, so I'm going to continue. Kein yesh anashim. Also, so too, there are people. She'i afsher legalos lahem panimius hatorah hatzarik lirfuasa. So too, there are people to whom we really can. It's impossible to reveal the inner teachings of the Torah that they need to heal them. So we know the expression, they don't have the vessel for it. They haven't constructed the vessel into which to pour these deep teachings that are going to heal them. We have to have the structure in which to hold the cure. Otherwise, it's going to overwhelm us. Ki ha-Torah hi refua. Because the Torah is called a cure. Kamosha kasuv, as is written in Mishlei and in Proverbs. Refuos tehi l'sharecha. It shall be a healing, and it's translated here as to your navel, to the center of your body, to your life force. Okay. So we know that the Torah itself is a healing. And I want to clarify for those of you that are new to these concepts that when we speak about the Torah in in virtually all the cases today that I'm referring to, we're speaking about all the accumulated Torah wisdom over the years, including the written Torah and the great works of Musar and Hasidus and Kabbalah and everything, all the teachings that are Jewish wisdom. Okay. Let's see, where are we? Okay. Okay. Ki HaTorah, Ki BeHaTorah Yeshene Kochos. So there is a double power in the Torah. Sam Chaim V'Sam Maves. It can be a potion of life, or, God forbid, a potion of death. Kemosha Amru Rabosenu Zichronam Levracha. So as our sages teach, Zaha Naase Lo Sam Chaim Lo Zaha Naase Lo Sam Hamaves. If a person is worthy, it will be an elixir of life. And if a person is not worthy, it will be, God forbid, a potion of death. And that's from the, I think that's from the Midrash. Okay. So, it's actually from the Talmud. So the Torah itself is so powerful. It's so filled, bursting with the potential to heal us and to heal our lives and to bring us joy and to uplift us and to heal all the emotional heartache we have as well as the physical issues. Well, we know it's so powerful, therefore it must also have the potential to have power in another direction. And that's not because the Torah, God forbid, is bad. God forbid, not it at all. The reason is that its strength has to be put into the right place, into the right vessel. So like my friend had to have the right dosage. Okay? Va'al kein im yomru lo ha-Torah ba'atzma kamo shehi. Yamos b'li safek. So therefore, if they tell a person the Torah itself straight, if they give him the Torah straight, he will, God forbid, undoubtedly, leave this world. Okay? Ki etzlo shalo zacha na'ase sam maves. In his case, because this person that he's giving as an example isn't able to be a vessel for the Torah, it becomes, God forbid, a potion of death. Al kein ha-hechreach lahalbish lo panimius ha-Torah b'divrei Torah acherim. Consequently, for this person, it is absolutely necessary to wrap up the Torah, to clothe the Torah, the inner teachings of the Torah, in other Torah teachings. Now, we see this, for example, Rabbi Kramer brings an example of the Midrash. He says that the homiletic interpretations that are the Midrash, they sort of wrap up the really the meaty stuff that we need to understand. We have to have it softened, broken down for us. In other words, diluted. Today we see, especially with not only with adults but with children, that they can't take it straight. It's too much. It's too painful. It's too overwhelming. And for us adults, it can also be overwhelming. Each person is an individual. One of the main things we get from the tzaddik is this beautiful concept that's a general Torah concept, but that's a concept that is woven throughout his teachings that we must understand, and that is you are a world, you're an olam, you're an individual, and you are like no one else. You are completely an individual, completely. And your path is not going to look like anyone else's, and your cure is not going to look like anyone else's. And because the Rebbe recognizes that, because Rebbe Nachman recognizes that, he offers us so many teachings, so many lessons to pick and choose from and combine. And he actually says, you can twist and turn the pages of my book. Meaning, you can take a sentence here. If that's going to motivate you to work on yourself, to uplift you, to bring you closer to God, to make you live a more joyous, fulfilled life in which you really are in touch with your ultimate purpose, then that's okay. You don't have to take everything complete. It's fine. Take what you can. Look at what you can. So I'm going to continue because there's even more about Rebbe Nachman's teachings, and we will just have enough time to wrap up and then have a few questions. Okay. V'lifamim gam ze eino yachol lekabel af im yalbishu bidverei Torah acherim. So there are times where even a person isn't able to tolerate this wrapping up of the Torah that I just mentioned, the clothing the Torah. Even if it's enclosed in other Torah teachings, he can't do it. It's too much for this person. There are many people like that today. Some of them even Torah scholars. You'd be amazed. Many people can't take even what the medicine that they need, even wrapped up. Al kemal bishin haTorah b'sipure devarim achitzonim. So, what do these tzaddikim do? What do our teachers do? They enclose the Torah in what we mentioned before, the sichos chulin, the mundane, everyday words and conversations. Okay, laman yuchal lekabel harefua hagenuza sham, so that they were able to absorb the cure that is hidden in that place in these conversations. Ki gam haTorah ba'atzma melubeshes ata b'sipure ma'asius mehamas shelo haya efshar lamasura kamos shehi. Because the Torah too, today, now, is wrapped up and enclosed in stories, because it is impossible, it's not possible to give it over straight. So what happens here, okay, is that the Torah itself, we don't even really get straight. We get it in the form of stories. People are so hungry today, and you find that people were very far away from having the vessel they need, are very attracted to the Kabbalah, to the straight medicine, the powerful medicine, because their souls recognize that they need this medicine, yet they can't absorb it. So what does Rebbe Nachman do? He does something amazing. He tells a story. And his story, Sipuri Masiyos, Rebbe Nachman's tales, are wrapping or enclosing in layers and layers of stories that seem like intriguing fairy tales, the deepest, most esoteric, Kabbalistic, mystical medicine that our souls need. And that when we read the stories of Rebbe Nachman, even if we don't understand them except at the simplest level, our souls understand them, and it helps us come back to our true purpose and what we really need to be doing in our lives. It helps heal us, and it can even bring us to joy. In order to benefit from them, we not only have to have faith in the cure, but we have to have some faith in a few things. We have to have some faith in the Creator. We have to have some faith that the tzaddik and the true tzaddikim are here to help us, and that they can help us. Hashem has given them the power to help us, and we have to have faith in ourselves and believe that we're worthy of being healed, we are vital to the fabric of creation, and that Hashem loves us, and he would not create us if there wasn't a healing for us, because Hashem creates the cure before the problem. So we know that there is a cure for whatever is ailing us, a broken heart, a broken body, God forbid, a broken mind, fractured relationships, whatever that is, the cures are there. And Rabbi Nachman encourages us to begin with his stories. Okay, if you would like to unmute yourselves, you may do so at *6. And you can ask questions or comment or just say hello. Is anybody there?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing that. I have children that are chronically ill with they're kind of immunocompromised, and it's very affirming to hear that, of course, there is that refuah waiting for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Hashem has created that. Created it, and it is here, and I'm very sorry to hear this about your children. If you want to text me their names, I'll include them in my Tehillim. You can text me to 917-348-1573.
I'll have to get a pen and paper to write that down.
I could send you
a message.
Send me a message, no problem. And they should have a refuah shleima.
I mean, the
cures are here. The cures are here for everything. We just have to plug in and have some faith that Hashem loves us. He loves your children, and he wants us to find the cure. And sometimes the path to the cure doesn't look like what we think it will look like. So, for example, we spoke about the great doctor in the beginning, and the path to the cure, Rabbi Nachman often recommends very simple practices to us, such as singing and dancing.
Right.
And bringing ourselves to joy. And we know that that also helps with physical illness as well, when it's possible, of course.
Right.
So everybody should be well.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi, this is... Anat, hello. Hiya.
Anat, hello Anat. Yes, how are you?
I think it's totally fascinating that whatever Rabbi Nachman says, the latest science confirms. It's just, that's not nothing about science. It's just incredible where he brings his wisdom for. We know that immunity gets better if you have faith.
Yes, it's true.
And you relax. And all the movement of meditation, obviously, you can... your immune system is working better, you can fight all kinds of invaders. But the thing that captured me the most was the power of storytelling. So apparently this generation, while we look at scientific stuff, we don't want to be told what to do or not what to do because we're skeptics. But a story affects us on an unconscious level.
Yes.
So there's nothing to fight with. And that
Good line, Anat. There's nothing to fight with. You know, I'm going to borrow that because it's very valuable. People today fight. We have this resistance, just like the healer, the barber in the beginning who thinks he's a healer, and he has to go to the top doctor. And there are people who come to the tzaddik, and they want to argue with him, and they want to say, oh, you say I should be saying Tikkun HaKlali, that's not going to help me. And they have no faith.
Yeah, but if that tzaddik would be at the level of Rav Nachman, would say, okay, let me tell you a story. One time, two people quarreled. La, 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 la. I remember mostly this story about the couple who comes to complain how horrible their marriage is. And then he tells them, well, this is the advice. Do you have a chicken? Yeah, bring the chicken in. Do
right into the house, right?
Yeah, the house is full of the goats and the chicken. Next week they're coming, they're complaining how horrible it is. And he tells them, take out the chicken, first thing, the goat, etc. You got the drift of it, right?
Right. That's one of my favorite stories, by the way. That's Mine. Right. So what yeah, Rebbe Nachman does is he tells us these stories, both simple and complex. They're the 13 tales of Sikori Matzios. And then there are a lot of other stories scattered throughout Breslov literature that are also very worthwhile in reading and learning.
Yeah, and we just don't know what hit us, but it's like children would tell them stories. Something hit us. Something profoundly affects us exactly without the resistance, without the...
That's very good, without wanting the need to fight. I really appreciate those words. Thank you yeah. and not. So I anybody was, else? Is there
yes,
anybody else that has any? Yes?
It's Aviva. Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit, Aviva.
Oh, wow. Let me.
Can you talk more into the phone?
How about now?
No, that's worse.
That's worse?
Yeah, speak again.
How about now?
Okay, that's okay. better.
Okay, so you were speaking earlier about, you know, let's say someone is sick and there's the cure, and it could be, it's so strong that it could heal or it could be toxic. And then
right.
you said something about depending on, I forgot what word you used, but depending on something, on what?
On whether the person is capable, and has, on the strength of the person, whether the person has the vessel with which to contain it. So, for example, a person who is, that's why I mentioned the Kabbalah before, because a lot of people who don't have the vessels to contain it, because Kabbalah must be, Kabbalah helps when people have at least some measure of purity, and so everybody's attracted to it, but it can harm them because they can't contain it.
Right, right. So then,
so like, for example, a person who has needs a medication, if the
yes.
person is very frail and very frail and has no appetite, and they're giving them this profound medication
right.
like they gave to my friend, it just
right.
bowled her over. It bowled her
right.
over. It was too toxic for her, even though it has the potential to heal.
Could it be something besides going beyond physicality? Could it
oh,
be
yes.
something about our neshama,
yeah.
neshama that we have no idea about?
Yeah.
Like I have a friend that was just diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, God.
And,
sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
And so I'm a survivor myself, and I want to give
oh,
her his hook.
This.
Yeah,
right.
and so it just makes me think, you know, we have no idea beforehand if that cure is going to weaken the person or strengthen them and help them get better. We have no way of knowing, correct?
No, we do have a way of knowing. So
okay.
So we're talking about a very broad topic, but when it comes to a spiritual cure, what we do know is that if we follow the advice of the tzaddik, okay,
yeah.
and remember, spiritual and physical are always intertwined. They're not, it's not necessarily a causal relationship as much as it is a corresponding relationship. It goes back and forth, back and forth. Obviously, the spiritual really is the root cause, but there's always a back and forth. And there's no judgment attached to that, by the way. I just
mm-hmm.
want you to know that. So everybody, so if we follow the advice of the tzaddik, who, again, what I mentioned before, really, totally understands each individual's individuality. He has an appreciation for it, which is why he offers us so many different ways into our cure. So if we follow his advice, and we follow the advice of the teachers who, you know, have the Masorah from the Tzaddik, and the teachers who have the, you know, the straight Masorah recommend little by little. As Rabbi Nachman says, a little bit is also good. You will not be harmed. You won't be harmed. It's a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And one of the ways to know is if you want growth and healing – it's going to be a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it may even be painful, but it's not going to flatten you. And so you test the waters. And we know for sure that Rabbi Nachman's stories and his prescriptions for joy are safe places to start. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the vessel for these stories, because if they don't have the vessel, they're just going to tune them out anyway. It won't affect them. But anybody with a neshama has the vessel for these stories. Mm-hmm. And by hearing the story, something happens. Something, the wheels start spinning, whether you're conscious of it or not. We're so used to relying on our intellectual processes that if we don't experience one in relationship to something, we negate its worth. That's just not the case here. There's a soul process that is connected to the intellectual process, but not always expressed by it. Now, did that make sense?
I'm going to let it sink in. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Well, yeah, listen to the recording, because I actually said a lot in that one run-on sentence, and I'm sorry about that. But look,
okay.
You can go back and
thank
listen
you.
To the recording.
I know.
And thank you so much for your comments, and God willing, your friend will have a refuah shlema.
Emir Tisham.
Amen.
Yeah. And the woman I was speaking about before also is suffering from the same situation. So there's just too much of this heartache in this world. Is there anyone else who has a comment or question?
Can you make a list of where the other stories are located outside of the stories that, you know, the bulk, like I have Super Amisios. You said that there are other stories scattered
yes.
throughout. Is there a way to bring
okay.
them together into one location?
Yes, but I'm probably not going to do it because I don't have time. But
sure,
there
I
are stories in, I will give you the, so if you have the Hebrew, it's Chaim Maran. In the English, it's Sadik, the Breslov Research Institute.
Sure.
Sadik has some stories. Also the English Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom. Has some kinds of stories, as well as I'm thinking now. There's some that are just traditional. What else? And also in the Kutei Maran, I think there's some like given as examples. Maybe there's stories in there too. And so there are a lot of little stories. The main 13 stories are the soul correction stories, but the others certainly can have an effect on us. I think Sichos Haran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, definitely has some, at least it has a mashal here and there that's very helpful.
Thank you.
You can also go, you could go to, where I would go is breathlesscenter.blogspot.com and write to Rabbi Sears. He might even be able to reel them off to you. He knows a lot. So, okay, and next time we're going to, if anybody else has questions, you can text me, because I have to go, sorry about that, and I look forward to next week, God willing. Hopefully, we'll see what the new Yetzirah has in store for us between the construction and the technical problems, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week, I look forward to next week. Be well, everybody. Take care.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Can we have your text number again?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.